sound set.
Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com.
Welcome to Corner of the Galaxy from the box on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Your LA Galaxy season came to a screeching halt thanks to a wonder goal and some truly awful penalty takes. Much like the rest of the year, the LA Galaxy failed to score when they needed it and were bruised and battered and left stranded by their designated players. We'll talk with ESPN soccer columnist Jeff Carlisle to get his take on the Galaxy's failure in Colorado and what he thought of the team throughout the year. We're back just in time to put the season to bed, but there's always some great LA Galaxy discussion to be had, regardless of when the season starts or ends. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy from the box on cornerofthegalaxy.com, and it all starts right now. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy from the box on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Now here are your hosts, Josh Gessman and LA Galaxy insider Adam Serrano. Hello everybody and welcome back to Corner of the Galaxy from the box on cornerofthegalaxy.com. I'm Josh Gessman, he is LA Galaxy insider Adam Serrano. Back after my hiatus, my honeymoon, just in time I guess for most of you to blame me for the LA Galaxy's loss, which I will faithfully put all on my shoulders. If you want to ship me back to Europe, that's fine with me. I'll go right now. So we're going to get into the LA Galaxy's loss to Colorado in the playoff series. In order to help us do that, we're going to be joined by one of my favorite people, a guy who was there in Colorado covering the game along with Adam Serrano. It's ESPN soccer columnist, Mr. Jeff Carlisle. Jeff, how's it going, buddy?
I'm doing well, Josh. How are you, man?
I am. I'm surviving. It's my first day back from my 2 weeks off, and I'm not so sure that I enjoy, you know, like working, opposed to being on vacation. So I'm going to try it. We're going to see how it goes.
All right.
But the LA Galaxy did play yesterday, obviously, as everybody knows. The LA Galaxy fell to Colorado after Colorado was able to even the score 1-0, which left it 1-1 on aggregate. Colorado goes through on penalty kicks after 120 minutes of semi-boring soccer. Jeff, what went right for Colorado in this series, and what went oh-so-wrong for the LA Galaxy?
Well, I think what went right for the Colorado Rapids was, you know, they were able to follow the script that they followed all year long. You know, defend tough, you know, rely on a moment of brilliance or two in attack to get the goal they need. And, you know, that was largely what happened in the second leg. I mean, I don't think you're going to see a more spectacular goal than the one that Shkels and Gashi got, you know, to pull the series even. I mean, that was just an absolute bomb from 40 yards.
Yep.
You know, Bruce Arena was a little critical of Brian Rowe, and just looking at the replay, you could see him kind of move to his left just fractionally, and then the ball just kind of tailed away on him, and it found the net, you know, courtesy of the post. But,
right.
You know, I think it was a game that Colorado was able to really kind of dictate its physicality on the Galaxy. You know, it wasn't a situation where I thought the Galaxy backed down, but, you know, I just think they were left trying to play Colorado's game, trying to play a gritty, physical, almost foul-filled game. And, you know, that just kind of played right into, you know, to Colorado's hands. And I think the altitude certainly was a factor.
Right.
And you just kind of felt like the longer this game went, the more, you know, more likely it seemed that Colorado was going to come out on top. And certainly Tim Howard, you know, he put on a show in the shootout, and Colorado's moving on, and the Galaxy went home.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that way. Adam, what is your take? You look at, obviously, the second leg in Colorado. The LA Galaxy didn't get the away goal that they needed. Can you go back to the first leg and say perhaps the LA Galaxy didn't capitalize enough to put more pressure on Colorado?
I mean, yeah, you can always do that. I think Robbie Keane definitely said that in the post game that, you know, the Galaxy kind of rued the fact that they couldn't do more at home. But, you know, Jeff is pretty spot on. The Galaxy were left to play Colorado's game, and you could really see that without a player like Anima Boateng to provide, you know, a little bit of something different, you know, the Galaxy were left looking for answers, and they really missed that little bit, extra bit of speed and that extra little bit of work rate that Ima brings to kind of create a few chances out of nothing, which is something that he's done, you know, very routinely throughout the year.
Right.
But I think you have to give a lot of credit to the Rapids and their ability to, you know, defend very well in blocks and, you know, limit opportunities and really cut down on the spacing, because they created a game where the Galaxy's offense simply was just flat. You didn't really see them generate many chances. They only got one shot on goal for 120 minutes.
Right.
And then once they went to penalty kicks, you know, the edge was always going to be with Tim Howard.
Yeah, no, I mean, you look at that, Tim Howard, obviously a great goalie. You know, Jeff, Adam brings up the good point about Emmanuel Boateng being injured. You had the Donovan injury early in the second half as well, so he had to be subbed off. You know, how much did those injuries, and even, you know, you could even go back to, you know, the injury of Giassi Zardes or the injuries to Steven Gerrard or Robbie Keane earlier in the year, but specifically Emma Boateng and Landon Donovan in this game, how much did that really affect the LA Galaxy?
No, I think it was huge. You know, it was, you know, obviously going into the game, it was Colorado that was going to have to try to push for a goal and take risks and leave themselves a little bit more open in the back than they're accustomed to doing. And the best way to exploit that is with speed on, in transition, speed on the counter. And that was what Emma Boateng and Landon Donovan, you know, to a lesser extent, were providing. You know, obviously, you know, Boateng's kind of that pure burner. And, you know, Donovan still got some pace, but, you know, he was going to bring that bit of guile, you know, that the ability to play a classy pass, you know, and free somebody up into space. So I think to lose both of those guys, you know, it was devastating. You know, I think, you know, Bruce Arena, obviously, you know, he tried to compensate the best he could. You know, he brings in Larenowitz, you know, he pushes Husidic out wide. But, you know, McGee was obviously out there. But, you know, it just wasn't, you know, once Colorado got that goal, there was just really, it was always just going to be tough sledding. And, you know, it's a shame for the Galaxy, but, you know, it's, you know, they had some injuries last year, and certainly when, like you said, when you combine that with the injuries to Keane and Gerrard, you know, it's just, you look back on the year, and it's just kind of a team that never really, it only clicked in the attack kind of in fits and starts. You know, obviously, you know, Giovanni Dos Santos had a great year, but, you know, certainly on Sunday he was pretty invisible, you'd have to say, and certainly a disappointing performance from him.
Well, Adam, you saw that Bruce Arena did bring on, Steven Gerrard did bring on Robbie Keane. What effects do you think that those two had in the second half? Do you think they were a positive addition in this particular game, or perhaps were they something that really there was nothing left to do? Bruce had to put them on. There was nobody left on the bench.
Yeah, you know, I want to go back to something that Jeff said, yeah. You know, about the team kind of, you know, having these injuries and sort of, you know, not being enough. And I think that, you know, you look at the way this game really went, and it was very analogous for the Galaxy season when you see players, you know, just not have enough in them, or their attack just not being there. This whole season was very stop-start for the LA Galaxy.
Yes.
They showed what they can do in spurts, but never consistently. And in the end, that Colorado game was exactly that. They couldn't, you know, put any consistent pressure on it, whether it was Gerrard, whether it was Joe Santos, whether it was Keane, and that, you know, hurt them. But, you know, and you also had, you know, repeated injuries from players, guys like Landon Donovan going down, you know, Yellow Von Don dealt with an injury, Mike McGee as well. So it was just a lot of injuries. But, you know, going back to your point, I think that you had to throw on Keane and Gerrard. They were really all the Galaxy had left on the bench. I was a little surprised not to see Raul Mendiola in reserve. I thought,
right,
you know, the game could have used a player who had his energy and his work rate, which is something they were sorely missing. But I think when you look at Keane and Gerrard's performance, you know, I think Keane was limited by that injury. He tried to kind of create some chances, nearly won a penalty kick. And with Gerrard, you saw him, you know, at least try to string together some passes to help the team. But, you know, in the end, it just wasn't enough because the Rapids were able to do what they've done all season and, you know, really suffocate the Galaxy. And I will be the one to admit that, you know, I didn't expect that strategy to last the whole season, let alone in the postseason. So you got to give them a lot of credit.
Yeah, no, it is interesting. And Jeff, you brought up the altitude already. Obviously, altitude affected the LA Galaxy, but how much did it affect them? And how much was it, you know, I think at one point during the broadcast, they said the average age of the LA Galaxy was 31 years old. How much of the altitude affecting the LA Galaxy was simply an older LA Galaxy team was going to be more affected by this, by the altitude?
You know, I think that's tough to say. I mean, you know, you look at some of the guys in midfield. I mean, you had Sebastian Legette and Bajio Husidic. You know, those are younger guys, you know, certainly very fit guys. So I just think it was a situation where I don't know that age had that much to do with it. I do think that over the course of the season, I think age definitely was a factor. I mean, I think that's why you saw Keane breaking down. I think that's why you saw Gerrard breaking down. You know, they just were not able to stay healthy for a consistent stretch. And, you know, as Adam alluded to earlier, I mean, that's kind of why the attack was so stop-start this year. I mean, I do also think, you know, there were some issues with how these pieces fit together
right.
for the Galaxy. I remember in preseason, Bruce Arena telling me that he didn't think that Hugo Dos Santos and Robbie Keane could play together. And I think he meant, you know, the two of them together in central roles. And
right.
so, you know, I think ultimately Arena's left with a decision that was, it certainly raised some eyebrows, but I think had a lot of logic to it, and that was to put a classic target guy like Alan Gordon up front, and that was going to be a better fall for Dos Santos. So I do think the altitude was a factor. I'm not sure it had that much to do with age in this specific game, but I think when you look over the course of the season, age was a factor, and also just the way these pieces fit together. I think Bruce Arena spent a lot of cycles trying to figure out how to accommodate Steven Gerrard. You know, certainly he had some success when he was moved a little bit further forward, but, you know, I think it was a situation where Bruce was constantly searching for answers, and I don't know that he ever really found one.
Yeah, I mean that certainly is. You know, there's a lot of, Jeff, we'll stick with you, there's a lot of uncertainty around a bunch of these players. Obviously, Robbie Keane is out of contract. Steven Gerrard is out of contract, although with Gerrard, everybody is sort of assuming that he's not going to be back. Bruce Arena is out of contract as well. What do you see in the future for Robbie Keane, for Bruce Arena?
Well, I mean, I think Robbie Keane could come back to L.A., but I don't think it's going to be as a designated player,
right.
and it's going to be in a reduced role. I don't know that he's a surefire starter for this team anymore, which is kind of shocking to think about. But, you know, he is getting up there in age. And, you know, Father Time, he catches up with everyone eventually. So, and you wonder if Keane will accept that,
right.
or if he's going to try his luck with another team and see if, you know, some other MLS squad is going to give him the minutes that he wants. You know, I think there's a lot of possibilities, but you know, again, it all depends on how willing Keane is to accept the lesser role to stay with the Galaxy. If he's not, then I think he's as good as gone. But then, you know, obviously there has to be a buyer. I mean, someone has to want Keane,
yep.
and expect him to be that guy that's going to play, you know, 30 some games a season now that he's no longer, you know, burdened by international commitments. So. A lot of questions. Yeah, like you said, I think Gerrard is gone, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Galaxy try to recruit those new designated players and what exactly they're going to look for. And again, not to overemphasize the point, but find pieces that complement each other,
yes.
rather than, you know, maybe big names that are going to draw people to the stadium and, you know, then try to figure it out afterwards.
Yeah, no, it certainly is. And your quick thoughts on Bruce's future. Will Bruce Arena be back for 2017, if you had to guess?
I suspect that he will. You know, there's been a lot of talk about him just being a GM, and, you know, certainly that could clear the way for a Dave Sarakin to take over. But I just kind of get the sense that Bruce isn't quite done yet.
Right.
So I suspect that he'll come back. And he'll be wearing the GM and head coaching hats like he has before. And you know, it's been interesting the last 2 years. You know, the Galaxy hasn't quite been as dominant, hasn't been quite as close to the tip top of the league as it was, you know, earlier in Arena's tenure with the Galaxy. So it's going to be interesting to see how they try to fix that and how they try to move forward you know, with the players that they get.
Well, Adam, you and I will have a lot to discuss here in the second segment, so I'm gonna end this with Jeff, and Adam and I will be back. If you want to follow Jeff on Twitter, it's at Jeffrey Carlisle. Of course, he writes for ESPN, a soccer columnist there, so please follow his stuff, read his stuff. Some good things covering the LA Galaxy's second leg loss to Colorado in the Western Conference semifinals. Jeff, as always, want to thank you for coming on, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again real soon, all right?
Josh and Adam, good talking to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, and there goes Jeff Carlisle. All right, whenever we get back, we're going to go ahead. Adam and I are going to talk a little bit more. Our thoughts on maybe the whole season, maybe following up on some of the questions that I asked Jeff. Adam and I can discuss those as well. So still a bunch to talk about. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy from the Box on cornerofthegalaxy.com.
Some more Corner of the Galaxy. Don't forget to head over to the website for all the latest podcasts, news, and more. Visit us online at cornerofthegalaxy.com.
Hey, this is Chris.
This is Eddie.
This is Jason.
And we're from Back Pocket Memories, and you're listening to Corner of the Galaxy.
Welcome back to Corner of the Galaxy from the Box on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Josh Kessman, Mr. LA Galaxy Insider, Adam Serrano with you once again after the LA Galaxy end the 2016 season with a loss to Colorado in penalty kick shootout style in, Adam, what I would might surmise as some horrible penalty kick takes as well. There wasn't a lot of quality from the LA Galaxy side. Granted, and I'll tip my hat to Tim Howard with that as well and say some outstanding, you know, goalkeeping as well. But, you know, you have to hit the net sometimes, Giovanni Dos Santos. And, you know, you have to put some pretty good moves on Tim Howard in order to get the ball in. And I didn't see that from some of the LA Galaxy takers there.
Yeah, I mean, penalty kicks are always a tough thing. I mean, it's always a lottery, whether you have Tim Howard or whether you have a different goalkeeper. You got to give the Rapids credit. They made their kicks and the Galaxy didn't. It's that simple.
Yeah, it is, and unfortunately, it brings back horrible memories of 2009 for me. Whenever it went to penalty kicks, I just didn't feel confident, and especially after 120 minutes of soccer, where I thought the Colorado really probably deserved to win the game. Although I think the LA Galaxy did a good job in limiting a lot of their chances. I mean, Colorado didn't have a ton of wide open clear chances, and you look at the goal they scored, and that Gashi goal will be something that will be forever ingrained in my memory as one of the greatest kicks I've ever seen, like live on television, not in person, but at least live on television, right there, to see that ball do that thing. And I thought it was interesting, and it was something that Jeff had touched on, and I think you and I have talked about it as well, at least off the air, is that, you know, Bruce Arena was critical of two players really mainly in his post-game comments, and that was Giovanni Dos Santos and Brian Rowe. And I think I understand Giovanni Dos Santos, Adam. You need a designated player who shows up in big games, and you know, Bruce has said that this really is his first full year playing as a professional, and if you look back at his career, that makes a lot of sense and how Bruce explains it that way. But the other guy was Brian Rowe, and I can't blame Brian Rowe for that goal. That seems like such a tough thing to say for Bruce Arena after the game, that Brian Rowe, you know, was, you know, could have possibly played that shot better. I thought it was just, I thought it was a wonder strike. Am I crazy?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, it's tough for both players, particularly with the way the Galaxy were playing. you know, I think Gio definitely does have to demand more of the ball, but there was no real attacking emphasis from the Galaxy. It was a great defensive performance, but there was just nothing there to kind of even get Dos Santos involved in the game. When you look at Rowe, you know, maybe he can, you know, not hesitate a little bit on that ball, but, you know, with the way that it knuckled, you know, it was just an answered prayer, really. And
it was.
I don't think it was any like that crazy of a goal. You know, it was a nice goal. It was a speculative shot from distance, but you can see that when Rowe's looking at that ball, he's thinking that he's going to catch it and it's going to go straight into his hands, and it kind of moves. So, you know, I mean, sure, if he is in a little bit of a better spot, maybe he makes that stop, maybe he doesn't. But it's a little tough to pin this on him. You know, he got the first penalty, and I was standing right there when he's going up against Doyle, and I can still hear the sound that the ball makes in my head when Doyle strikes it. It hits Rowe in the chest, and it just kind of dribbles underneath him. So it's a tough way to lose, and you think that, okay, well, maybe if they had scored, maybe it stopped that play. We're in a different situation. We're having a much different conversation.
Yeah, but at that point, you have to get into, and I'm with you with penalty kicks being, you know, basically a coin flip on how the things end. I mean, at that point, you're sitting there, you know, little tiny things could make huge differences. And, you know, is that really going to change, you know, the outcome? I mean, you played 120 minutes of soccer to get to penalty kicks. At that point, you're sort of just throwing everything up in the air. So I just thought it was interesting that Bruce took the time, and you know, you and I have been covering Bruce long enough to know that when he takes the time to criticize a player in the press after a game for specific reasons, that he's doing it for a specific reason, that he has some end game in mind. So I can only imagine that he's trying to light a fire under both of those players, because he knows he's going to have both of those players back. You know, you and I think are both assuming, and I don't think it's a long stretch, that Brian Rowe is going to be the LA Galaxy's number one keeper going into 2017, and that the LA Galaxy won't be shopping for a new goalkeeper in 2017 in this offseason. So I think that that's probably a safe bet. So, you know, it has to be motivation-wise for both of these guys that they have to do better.
Yeah, I mean, I really believe that in 2017 it's going to be Giovanni Dos Santos' team. He's going to have to step up, and I know a lot of fans disagree with me, but I think that you have to stick with Brian Rowe. I think he had very good numbers in his first full year starting, and I think that that's something to build upon. And I think that experiences like this stick with a goalkeeper. Goalkeepers have very long memories. And I think that he's going to get better. And they also have, you know, talented young goalkeepers like Clément Diop, who I'd also like to see fill that second role. So I can't really see the point in really investing in another goalkeeper in 2017.
We talked to Jeff Carlisle about Robbie Keane's future, about Bruce Arena's future. Another person who's on that list is Landon Donovan. All of these guys afterwards really said that, well, Robbie Keane said he would be back next year playing with some team somewhere. But as far as Bruce Arena, he says he never discusses his contract. And Landon Donovan said this wasn't the time to discuss 2017. What do you expect from all three of these guys? Do you have any views of what you think the LA Galaxy should do?
I mean, I can't see the Galaxy without Bruce Arena in 2017. And I think that, you know, I was, you know, very frank with a lot of fans on social media after that game, saying, you know, Bruce is going to stick with this team. I can't see him leaving. So that's where I stand about Bruce. But then when you look at the other guys, 2017 could be a year of transition for this team. And I wonder, as Carlisle mentioned, if you know, keep Robbie Keane, I don't know if he'll be a designated player. You know, he did well when he was on the field, but you can definitely see that, you know, Father Time is starting to catch up. And with Landon Donovan, you know, he had his good moments, but is that the way the Galaxy want to go? Is this the person they want back to lead this team? And I think it's going to be Landon Donovan's decision. I think he definitely showed he can still play, and he's still a great player and a great person. But I wonder what his mindset will be. And I think that, you know, he'll have to be the one to decide that. But, you know, this is a very important offseason for this team, and the team could look very different next year.
Well, I mean, and if you look at it, it was different in 2016. You look at all the players that Bruce Arena was able to bring in. Granted, some of those guys were guys who had played on the LA Galaxy before, like Mike McGee. But just in terms of that core, and I call it almost the older core, you look at the guys like Jeff Lorenowitz, Bajio Husidic, Alan Gordon, Mike McGee, even somebody like Landon Donovan, Robbie Keane, Steven Gerrard, Ashley Cole. There's an older core there, and I have to think, at least in my mind, Adam, is that a majority of those players, and I'm serious, a majority of those players might not be back with the LA Galaxy. You know, it seems to me, and I've been very vocal on this point, I think that Robbie Keane is done with the LA Galaxy, and only because I don't know that he will take a reduced role and a non-designated player spot with the LA Galaxy, and knowing that he's going to be a super sub coming off the bench, I just don't think that seems like Robbie Keane's style. So if that's the case, and I said this on social media immediately after the game, is that if Robbie Keane is not going to be with the LA Galaxy any longer, I feel like we're almost getting shortchanged the chance to like send him off the way that he probably should be. You look at what he's done in this league with the LA Galaxy, Adam, and it's, you know, he's an LA Galaxy legend. There will be a statue built for him someday out in front of StubHub Center that, you know, says Robbie Keane, you know, one of the greatest designated player signings of all time, the greatest international designated player signing ever brought into the league for MLS. I mean, he's had a huge impact on this team and on this league, and there's a very good chance that we all just saw him play his very last game in an LA Galaxy kit. Does that hit you the same way it hits me, or am I just, I'm making a bigger deal of it?
No, totally. I think that Robbie Keane certainly is one of the best players to ever play for the LA Galaxy. He did so much to help this team and to transform this team into the dynasty that it became. Yep. And I think that personally, if it were me, I would definitely want to keep him in some sort of fashion, whether that's a DP. I don't necessarily think that that's the move, but, you know, I think it would be very unfortunate if that was the last game we saw of Robbie Keane. And it's unfortunate that, you know, he doesn't get to send off, be able to give a player like David Beckham and Landon Donovan the first time that, you know, he definitely deserves. He's an LA Galaxy legend. You know, he's probably the most important signing the team ever made. Not trade, because that's where they got Landon. But, you know, I think he's definitely done everything he could for the club. So it would be very different to see the LA Galaxy without him.
Yeah, another people, lots of people clamoring, talking about a guy who, in my opinion, was the team MVP this year. Yellow Van Dam back in his defending role has been a revelation for the LA Galaxy. I have to think right now, there's no way in hell that the LA Galaxy don't bring back Yellow Van Dam next year, and that there's not some way to make sure that he is back next year 100%. He seems to really buy into the LA Galaxy mentality. The fans love him. He's a guy who just fights to the death for everything, which is always fun to watch, and you can see the passion that he has. You can see how upset he was, a lot like Giovanni Dos Santos, after the LA Galaxy's defeat yesterday. Yellow Van Dam has to be back with the LA Galaxy next year.
Yeah, no way he's not there. So you can tell that to one of your correspondents.
Yes.
That's not a vague answer. There's no way he's not with the LA Galaxy. He's someone that truly, you know, bleeds for the club and did everything he could. I mean, he's playing with basically one leg, and he was still one of the most energetic players during that extra time, trying to create the chance that would send the Galaxy through. So there's no way he's not going to be with the team next year. Bruce Spring has already talked about how he'll be even better next year because he'll be playing another full year as a center back. And if this is, you know, only a taste of what we can get from Yellow Van Dam, then, you know, 2017 will certainly be quite the spectacle.
If you needed to, Adam, would you designate player? Would you turn Yellow Van Dam into a DP?
I think you're going to keep him. I think you got to definitely give him some more money. I don't think that it's going to come down to a designated player deal.
Right.
Because I think that, you know, you need to fill those roles elsewhere. So I just can't, see that happening. And I don't think it's going to be, I don't think that's going to be an issue at all.
Yeah. I don't think it comes to that either. All right. So there we go. Let's see, LA Galaxy offseason. I mean, the thing that's really going to, continue to play out is obviously the playoffs will, continue to roll out as we see them. Only four teams left in that, Seattle and Colorado on one side, Toronto and Montreal on the other side. While that doesn't affect the LA Galaxy very much, you can start watching how they prepare for the offseason. Exit interviews should be coming up sometime this week. I don't know whether or not I'm going to be able to make it there after being off for 2 weeks. It might be hard to skip away from work in order to go to exit interviews, but if I can, I will. And I've also put in some requests for some other interviews for our live show on Thursday, so we should have that. Let's see, Adam, if you look back, I mean, you said it. I think I said it. I think Jeff Carlisle said it. Lots of people have said it, that this series, and particularly the second leg in Colorado, just sort of encapsulates the LA Galaxy season almost perfectly. If you wanted to play one game that sort of showed what 2016 was like, that game was it. 120 minutes, one shot on goal, designated players, two designated players don't start. Eventually, all three are there. The LA Galaxy sort of lack cohesiveness. They never really get anything going. They play defense pretty well. They're undone by a wonder goal. Somebody who I think is crazy said that they were glad the LA Galaxy didn't advance because the way they played in that game, they didn't deserve to advance. And I said that's a ridiculous statement because I would have gladly taken a penalty kick win there and tried to fix everything against Seattle going forward. But, I mean, that's it. This is 2016 in a nutshell was that game.
Yeah, you forgot the injuries, too.
Oh, and the injuries, yes.
And tons of injuries, everyone getting injured, and, you know, not being able to field your best team. So I think it really encapsulated everything about the 2016 season, which was, you know, a very awkward and weird one for the LA Galaxy. So many times we've seen this team sort of follow the same script and, you know, pick up the pace at a certain period, or, you know, go on these long dominant runs, or play fantastic game where it just looks like no team in the world is going to beat them. And you didn't really see any of that from this Galaxy team. Regardless of the fact that, you know, they were the most talented team I still believe that ever played in MLS at the start. The best team on paper that we've probably ever seen or ever will see. So it's tough. And I think that game, just at the end of the day, you know, I was kind of sitting there and thinking, okay, well, you know, what do you say about this performance? And it's just flat. Colorado just made them play the way that they wanted to play, and that negated everything that the Galaxy had. And at the end of the day, everything they had just wasn't good enough. And it wasn't good enough against a Colorado team that I've been on this show, and I was very vocal about saying I didn't rate them very highly, and I didn't think that they had the talent or the capability to deal with the Galaxy team. And, you know, I was flat wrong. And they did, and they were able to grind the Galaxy away into dust. It's that simple.
Yeah, no, it is. You look at it. I'm with you. I think that this LA Galaxy team is one of the most talented ever on paper. And so they're just the classic underachievers that they were this year. I mean, I'll honestly say this, Adam. I don't remember an LA Galaxy season that had more horrible games that I had to watch than this year. There was just absolutely grinding, horrible performances. The worst game I've ever watched in person was this year, whenever the LA Galaxy had to face off against Sporting Kansas City at home, and the LA Galaxy did not get a shot on goal the entire game, and it ended 0-0. It was abysmal to watch. And, you know, there's something to say about Colorado that plays ugly but can still, you know, obviously get results. They finished second in the Western Conference. It's another thing to watch the LA Galaxy with all the draws they had, just the inability to put teams away, to take points, and, you know, to play anything even resembling attractive soccer for any stretch of the year. So it's going to be an interesting offseason. I think this offseason is an overhaul. I think last year, quite honestly, was a pretty big overhaul if you looked at how many players changed and came in, and that was certainly something that we were talking about leading into the 2016 season. So, you know, it's MLS. Bruce Arena will tell you, you don't get to keep players for that long. You're going to have to change a whole bunch of guys. That means that I think some fan favorites, some people possibly like Alan Gordon, like Mike McGee, possibly even AJ De La Garza, and some other people may not be with this LA Galaxy team next year, which could be very, very interesting to say the least. So, final words. Your final words.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think if I had to pick a year this most resembled, it was probably 2013. I think that that team was probably just as inconsistent and had, you know, some good moments, bad moments, and looked like they should advance. And you look at it, it was the same occurrence, conference semifinal, 1-0 up, and they blow it at the end, almost the exact same minute on the exact same day, mind you. So it was all a little eerie about that. But, you know, I think that I'm excited to see what happens in the future because I think this is Giovanni Dos Santos' team now, and I think that he's a player that's definitely going to step up, and I think that he's someone that the Galaxy can truly build around. And I think that the team hasn't had a young talent, you know, since, you know, the early days of Landon Donovan. I think that you're talking about a player who has had a lot of success this year, has shown that he's one of the best players in Major League Soccer. And I think that when he's in the right system and when the team's able to do what they do on the field and play, you know, attractive soccer, you know, he's pretty damn good. So we'll see what he can do, what the Galaxy will do, and how different this team is going to look. But, you know, this whole offseason has the kind of end of the era kind of feeling to me personally, because it just seems that, like, you look at this older core and you don't necessarily know if it's going to be around. And, you know, maybe we're saying goodbye to that. Maybe we're going to see a younger Galaxy team. Maybe we won't, but it certainly looks that way right now.
Well, Adam, I want to thank you for obviously coming on the show, for co-hosting with me on Corner of the Galaxy from the Box, for being a constant guest on the Corner of the Galaxy show as well. So thanks for hanging out with me on numerous nights. I appreciate all the effort that you put into it, and I'm sure we'll have more in the offseason as it comes along. So thank you for that. And I guess with that, I'll tell everybody to please follow Adam on Twitter at LA Galaxy Insider. And if you already aren't doing that, there's something wrong with you. LAGalaxy.com/insider for all of Adam's writings on LA Galaxy, LA Galaxy 2, and everything else. So, Adam, hope you have a semi-quiet next week or so. Actually, that's not true. Exit interviews are going to come out. But at least a week after that, I hope you have a little bit of rest to go on here. And then we'll get right back into it. What does it sound good?
Sounds like a plan. Thanks for having me on, Josh. I appreciate it. And, you know, thanks to everyone who listens to our ramblings. It's greatly appreciated. And the hard work is all for you guys. So thanks again.
All right. That does it for us tonight, today, whenever you're listening. There will be a live show coming up on Thursday, and a lot more topics will be covered. Expecting a guest or two on that one as well. So please tune in. Live show, 7 p.m. on Thursday. We'll be taking your calls, any of your questions. We'll go for an hour. We'll go for longer. However long you want to talk about the LA Galaxy, quite honestly, we'll be here. So set your alarm clocks, set your calendar reminders. If you want, just text me and I'll call you whenever I'm getting ready to start. All right, 7 p.m. on Thursday, live show, the last of the 2016 season in terms of wrapping that up, and then we'll move right into off-season stuff as well. All right, for LA Galaxy Insider Adam Serrano, for Mr. Jeffrey Carlisle, you've been listening to Corner of the Galaxy from the Box on cornerofthegalaxy.com. I'm Josh Gessman. We'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to the Corner of the Galaxy From the Box podcast on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at The Galaxy Podcast. And be sure to check out and subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook by searching for Corner of the Galaxy. And for all of your independent LA Galaxy news, discussion, and entertainment, including this podcast, head on over to cornerofthegalaxy.com. Fans, thanks for listening. We ask that you be kind and courteous to your neighbors as you leave the podcast. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you again. Until then, I'm Michael Araujo, and on behalf of the entire Corner of the Galaxy crew, goodbye, everybody.